Back in the 1930s, a seminary professor in Dallas published a systematic theology that became quite popular, especially among Baptists. In it, he stated that repentance was not a necessary component to salvation, that you could be saved without repentance. This ideology appealed to the sinful nature of man, and it was embraced and adopted into the modern gospel, which has become known easy believism. All you had to do to go to heaven was to believe. And you could believe a number of things. You could believe the truth of John 3:16, and that alone would get you to heaven by believing a verse. You could go to heaven by a physical act, by walking an aisle, or repeating a prayer. That would get you in there. You could go to heaven by joining the church through church membership. But as popular as these man-centered methodologies are, and they're used so frequently, they're contrary to Scripture, because the Word of God demands repentance if you want pardon for sin. Jesus said so. You want to argue with Him? Jesus said in Luke 13:3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Except ye means except you. All perish means everyone who does not repent. Perish means damnation in a devil's hell, even if you are the chairman of the deacons. The early church and the Apostle Paul preached man's duty of repentance. We see so in Acts chapter 20, in verses 20 and 21. "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus' first sermon was on repentance, as we see from Mark chapter 1. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And his last word to the church was repentance. In Revelation 3:19 we read, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Jesus told his disciples to go out and preach repentance. We read so in Mark 6, verse 12. "And they went out, that men should repent." So the Word of God is sure, friend, and it teaches us clearly that men should repent if they want forgiveness of sin. So why, brother pastor, do you omit repentance from your gospel preaching? Is it because you're more interested in growing your church than in the real salvation of souls? What is my standing is the question we must ask ourselves. Did I enter the Christian religion without ever exercising repentance myself? Have I ever, ever repented of my sins? Perhaps you've confused reformation with repentance, like a ship captain did in the following story. I'm going to read you a story, friends. It's one of the best stories I ever heard. I want you to listen to it carefully, and I promise you, you will benefit from it immensely. Here now are the words of a ship's captain. "I was captain of a smuggling boat. At dawn, we discovered a Coast Guard boat in the distance. The Coast Guard was still a long way off, and we soon saw her turning toward us. We couldn't possibly get away. We all knew what would happen if we were caught. Now, not only would the boat and cargo be confiscated, but we'd all go to prison. But there was a dead silence as we stared at each other in dismay. The Coast Guard was coming up fast behind us. Suddenly, I thought of a way out. Hastily, we rigged a screen at the stern to hide our deck. Then, I sent the men in line to hand up the cargo and pitch it overboard. We worked fast. Nothing was heard but the splash of the cargo dropping into the sea. The hold was empty and fast. We'd soon be finished. I saw the ship's boy was exhausted, so I sent him to see if the Coast Guard was very far off. In a minute, he came rushing back, gasping, "It won't sink!" Why, I ran to the stern of the ship. The sun was just rising behind us, and there, in that long line of light, were the packages of cargo bobbing up and down in our wake. The first package in line had just reached the oncoming Coast Guard boat. Helplessly, we stood and stared. The proof of our guilt was spread out for all to see. In our ears, it rang, "It won't sink." In prison from time to time, I would resolve to correct my ways. But resolving is one thing, doing is another. As soon as we were free, I went back to smuggling. A few years later, I went out on a boat at night. It was New Year's Eve, and in spite of myself, I began to review my life. I saw myself as a child saying my prayers. I heard my mother tell me of one who came down from heaven to bring life to the world. And the more I thought, the more horrified I was. God had created me, and I had lived and was still living as though there was neither God nor eternity. I got down on my knees and prayed that God would help me. I would be another man. I wouldn't touch a drop of liquor. I made many more resolutions about what I would do and what I wouldn't. And I began to feel very good about myself. On further reflection, I saw that there were a lot more things I ought to clean up. I must throw overboard everything that didn't belong. My life was to be completely changed. My resolutions were getting more serious, and my heart grew lighter, and I was happy in the thought that I had become a new man. Having made this decision, it seemed as if everything was in perfect order. I was ready to go back to land, when suddenly the moon broke through the clouds and shone across the water to my boat. The memory of that morning when, chased by the Coast Guard, I had cast the cargo into the sea came over me with overwhelming power. I heard the cry, "It won't sink!" How blind I was. I had tried to lighten the ship by casting the cargo overboard, and there it was all there, floating behind me, like an accusing line stretching up to the very throne of God. All that I had done, said, or thought was there before God, and it wouldn't sink. A fool that I was, I thought I could drown all my wickedness without a thought of the holiness of God. If I'd been able, from that moment on, to do only what was good, it would not have changed the evil done in the past. What good was it to be forming good resolutions for the future when the past couldn't be hidden? Tears filled my eyes. I was hopelessly lost. Then I remembered something. Hadn't I been told about Jesus? the Savior of sinners, and he died on the cross for me. And if I turned to him now, wouldn't his precious blood wash away my many sins? Wasn't there grace and mercy for even me? All at once, everything was clear. Yes, the Lord Jesus had died for me. He had borne the punishment of all my sins. And if I accepted that, they would all be cast into the depths of the sea. The verse, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more," came to my mind, and I was filled with joy. Entirely relieved of my burden, I turned my boat toward shore. I was a new man. I'd gone out a lost sinner, but I was coming back redeemed by the Lord. Well, I like that story, friends, don't you? But we must ask ourselves the question, what is my standing? Have I ever exercised repentance toward God? Be assured of this, friend. The Bible says God requires that which was past. It also says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy." But the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. But listen, friend, let me ask you, what is God saying to you?